Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. How you doing? Friday the 13th. Unlucky day. So they say. I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. Yeah, Tim Russert died today. Heart attack at the age of 58. Or else he was murdered by the Bush crime family. Take your pick. I don't know. Somebody will do an autopsy, I'm sure. 58 is awfully young, not for a heart attack, but when you're my age, 58 is awfully young. To the Nova M founding members, great news. If you can handle it, it's up right now. You can watch a weekly video. We're going to do this once a week, probably on a Friday, of your humble and obedient servant here, moi. Today's video runs about 3.5 minutes. If you are a founding member, this is Malloy Uncensored. Log on to NovaMRadio.com. Click on founder section and go to videos. And what we've done this week is I'm reading an email from our studio here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, an email that was sent in. I don't know what we're going to do each week, but it should be interesting. For those of you who, how many founding members are listening right now? Six? Oh, good. No, I don't know how many are listening, but for those of you who are, check it out. Go take a look. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. I mean, send me an email now. You know, just go look at it. It's 3.5 minutes. All we're going to talk about this first segment is Russert anyway, so... NovaMRadio.com and go to the founder section. You can do that too if you want to become a founding member of Nova M Radio. $100 a year or $10 a month or something. It's worth it. It really is. I don't know where to go with the Tim Russert thing. Since I'm part of the society, and this is a media-driven society, it was a jolt, sure it was, today, to see that a media person, someone who I felt I knew very well enough to call him media whore number one. I never met him, never had a conversation with him, but this is what television does to you. It makes you think that... people you see on television repeatedly are somehow someone with whom you can be intimate. I have talked to people who have that kind of status in a media-driven society, and they say it always freaks them out when they're at the grocery store or if it's a guy standing at a urinal in a public bathroom, you know, just where people normally go, and someone comes up and it's just like, oh, my God, it's you! And that's one of the wonderful things about radio. You're just totally anonymous. But anyway, Russert's death was kind of a jolt to me because just because of who he was, not because of his health. I don't know what his health was. Not because he's a father or it's 2 days before Father's Day or a husband. None of that. Just that he was a media star. It's a very awkward feeling, isn't it? Huh? Because you don't know Tim Russert from Adam's house cat. Neither do I. But you know his image. You know his voice. You know his point of view. You know the way he sucked up to power. You know that he was just an extraordinarily deceitful television personality. A lot of people are praising him today as being a journalist. What Tim Russert did, for God's sake, was not journalism. It was something. It was very... important in the world of television, not in the world of politics or reality, but important in the world of television. But this, I think we first heard about it around 3 o'clock this afternoon. Was it that late, Kathy? 3 o'clock? 2:30, 3 o'clock. And the coverage now has been nonstop. Jesus Christ, this is a guy who had a television program. I mean, MSNBC has just been, the world has stopped. Everything has stopped. I don't, there are very, very few people whose deaths I would celebrate. Limbaugh's one. Hitler's another. Very few people, most of the people whose deaths I would actually celebrate and go, yes, yes. Well, Jerry Falwell, I guess. Most of them are historical figures. People who history has demonstrated the horror that they brought to this planet. So, as far as Tim Russert is concerned, he is another human being out of 300 million of us. And I was telling somebody today, whenever someone well-known dies like this that I thought sucked at what they did, and I'm not making any bones about it tonight. I referred to him as media whore number one. But whenever I hear of their death, rather than dancing a little jig as Hitler did when Czechoslovakia fell, it just comes to me, John Donne's poem about no man is an island unto himself, each is a piece of the main, a part of the whole. I know I'm misquoting it. Don't send me the real poem. Each man's death diminishes me, for I'm a part of mankind, so blah, blah, send not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. That was written, what, in the 16th century, 17th century? Long time ago. But I think of that poem, and the reason I think about it is because I decided a long time ago that each man's death does not diminish me in the least. Death perpetrated by my society against civilian populations, that diminishes me. But the death of someone, my mother's death did not diminish me. My brother's death did not diminish me. My sister's death, my father's death, none of these deaths diminished me. In fact, in a sense, it added something to me as far as I'm concerned. But this is personal stuff. When I've had friends die, I haven't felt diminished. I kind of just lock onto the idea that we, each of us, have a certain lifespan. Not that anything's predetermined or predestined. I don't believe any of that horse crap either. And I don't believe when it's your time to go, you'll go. Nah, please, give me a break. Unless you can look at that statement in kind of a reverse, put a lot of reverse spin on it. Well, certainly when it's time for you to go, you go. But that doesn't imply a schedule written down someplace. A death of someone prominent like this, and then the wall-to-wall coverage, of course, invariably fixates me for a few minutes on my own mortality. And that's always interesting to me, how, what my thoughts are about my own impending death. I don't fear death. And I've told Kathy this, had we not had Molly, I'd reached a point in my life where, okay, whenever, I'll continue to do those things that I do to extend this madness out as long as I can. But then, when you have a child, all of a sudden becomes a different equation. Your life at that point is not really your life exclusively. So, yeah, my mortality concerns me now more than it did, say, 5 years ago. And not because I'm 5 years closer to the grave, but simply because I'm dealing with a four-year-old child. So all of that kind of stuff floats into my head. I don't know what floats into your head when a media star like Tim Russert kicks a bucket. I don't feel any sense of grief or fear. The only thing that, and it does move me a bit, is the sadness that his family must feel, because most of us of a certain age have had family members die. And this doesn't diminish. This is a part that I feel to me kind of adds to the equation. To feel that sense of loss, to understand the finiteness of everything, really. to have it really placed right in front of you that this is not an endless gig. You know, at some point the curtain comes down and the stagehands go home, and that's the end of it, right? So, blah, blah, blah. Jesus, where'd all that come from? All right, what I'm going to do here when we come back, though, is read some of the emails some of you have sent in about Tim Russert's death. All I can say is you people are brutal, but I've kind of segregated them, so we'll see. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Turn on your light, baby. I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think too.
Listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers, it'll be our secret.
21 past the hour. All right, as promised, some of the emails that you folks have sent in regarding Russert's demise, and again, some of these are pretty brutal. But it's a brutal world. Sheila writes in, just heard Oberman and David Gregory discussing, quote, "How can we have this election without Tim?" End quote. I haven't seen such coverage since Kennedy was assassinated. Wall to wall on all cable outlets, even faux news, all day long. But if you listen carefully, you will soon discover that these cockroaches are using Russert in a masturbatory exercise to talk about themselves. Each one was closer to Tim than the other. Tim was the great mentor to the world's journalists, a giant of a man every media whore should emulate. To me, Tim Russert was the guy to go to if your name was Dick Cheney and you wanted to catapult the lies. But that's just me. I could be wrong. Sheila. Bob in Miami. Hey, Mike, I've watched the great glass television screen, and now I know the truth. Tim Russert wasn't media whore number one. After all, he was a seeker of wisdom and truth, an exceptional hard-nosed bulldog-like journalist, a great American, a great patriot. In short, he was a god. Lee in San Diego. Subject line. Well, there was some good news today. Oh, God, you people. Rat bastard Russert died. I'm not faking anymore. I'm glad he's dead. By the way, I called Representative Conyers' office today, and he answered. You know how representatives like to answer their own phone when people are in their office and they don't want to deal with? So he answered. I told him I appreciate his sticking his neck out over the years, but also his 22 terms of service, and also his, but I said it's time to go against leadership and start hearings regarding impeachment. So, you want impeachment, he asked? No, I want the hearings to begin, sir. He asked for my name and address to kill more time and said he would call me as, well, later. Gee, he hasn't yet. Anyway, I spoke to Conyers and Russert died. All in all, a pretty good day. Lee in San Diego. God. Oh, you people are going to burn in hell. Peter writes, Mike, I don't take pleasure in the death of another person, but Timmy worked for GE and was particularly credulous when it came to the transparent warmongering assertions of the Bushies. Remember, Darth Cheney's notes said, go on meet the press or another environment where we can control the discourse, end quote, or something to that effect. This was revealed in the trial of Scooter Libby. So, will Arianna Huffington be guesting on MSNBC now? Whistling Past the Graveyard, Peter. From Richard in New Jersey. God rest his soul, but if NBC can find someone else who is able to give the impression of being knowledgeable, objective, and fair, while in fact existing primarily to protect GE's interests around the world to the extent that Mr. Russert was able to, then that person will also be worth the $10 million or so per year to GE that Tim was. Not cynical, just fact. Richard in Hoboken. Bill writes, Mike, it's interesting how, in contrast to their male counterparts, it was the female TV celebs, Barbara Walters and Peggy Noonan, non-NBC employees, of course, who were the only TV celeb star so-called journalists to veer even a degree or more from bestowing sainthood upon Tim Russert. From Tanner, Dear Mike, enjoyed the interview on the show last night. Hope you did slow breathing afterward. You're the only one I know that won't think this is strange, but I hope they do a thorough autopsy on Tim Russert. Am I crazy to think this way? I can believe it's a heart attack, but I can also believe other things because of the times we have lived in for 8 years. Keep it lit, Tanner. And from Michael in Harrisburg, PA, Mike, congratulations. You outlived the rat. God. Now, if the style of that other thug, Limbaugh, would catch up, or now, the lifestyle of that other porker, Limbaugh, would just catch up with him, it would be truly a new day dawning. Michael in Harrisburg, PA. And Bruce in New Jersey writes, Agent Russert has been neutralized. The jackal got him. Looks like the Bush crime family is tying up some loose ends. I'm sorry, but multimillionaires don't just drop dead. Not unless you're a disposable foot soldier for the Bush crime family. Bruce in New Jersey. That one's too long. We'll come back to it. And that one's too long. All right. We'll save these three for when we come back. So, and then we'll get to the regularly scheduled programming, as they say in the media. And listen, if you're going to call in tonight with something about Russert, be cool. I mean, I've got mixed emotions about it, because on the one hand, I keep thinking the John Donne poem. On the other hand, well, on the other hand. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Head down.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back to the Russert emails here very quickly, but I just got this email from Andrea, who wants a list of the songs we play on this program. Which, Andrea, is just simply an impossibility. Then she says, thank you. And then she writes, you're my age, so I can say something without sounding ageist. In truth, your picture on the homepage looks like you've just been exhumed. I was honestly surprised to see your face move. Can't you get them to change that picture? Just asking. Great show. Thanks for being there, Andrea. Hey, Andrea, that's not exactly the way to ask for something, but that's right. Yeah, I know. Of course I look like I'm exhumed. I've had a rough life. It's all the drugs. Jesus, I should have listened to Mom. This is from Bob. Hey, Mike. Well, one of the reasons I don't have many friends, I've got three, is that I'm not generally perceived as being a very nice guy. I understand that it's not nice to speak ill of the recently dead, and it's only been about 5 hours since he croaked, but I can heap scorn upon his old dead head with exuberance. Yeah. He was a good father, husband, son, blather, blather, yak, yak, and sold out whatever journalistic ethics he ever had for a fat paycheck and access to the swine who drove this country into a ditch. The net is awash with blubbering, and even over at Crooks and Liars it says, quote, "As with all announcements of this sort, we ask that your comments stay respectful," end quote. Screw that. His pudgy hands were dipped in the blood of Iraqi children like all the other corporate media hacks that sold the swill pushed by the war criminals that run this place. A decent human being wouldn't even go into the same room with Dick Cheney unless he was armed and ready to make a citizen's arrest. But Russert tossed the softball questions, let the greasy lies slide, and called it hard-hitting reporting. What a crock. Tom Brokaw said Russert loved his family, his Catholic faith, his country, politics, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Yankees, and the Washington Nationals. Missing from Brokaw's mini-eulogy was Russert's love of sucking up to blanks for money. I could go on, but I'm feeling a tad queasy spending this much effort on a dead media whore. We have got to come up with a better descriptive term for these people. It bothers me that prostitutes are demeaned when we compare what they do with these, what's the name of the fish that darts in and picks the shreds of meat in betwixt shark's teeth? Those guys. Bob. This is from Spitfire. On Russert's death, Mike, what the hell is going on? I expected MSNBC would give a tribute to this guy, but Democratic Underground is saying things like, he'll be missed. This guy was media whore number one. There wasn't a Republican he wouldn't softball or a Democrat he wouldn't confront with right-wing lies, even if they came from the most unsubstantiated source imaginable. Cheney referred to Meet the Press under Russert's watch as the place to go to spread the lies. Russert was one of the worst, because he had, quote, credibility, end quote, as he pushed the Republican agenda forward. This is a guy who asked Kucinich about UFOs just to derail his campaign and make him look like a nut, just before Kucinich was scheduled to introduce articles of impeachment against Cheney. To top it off, as of late, Meet the Press has literally been Meet the Press, as Russert has hosted a roundtable discussion of members of the media to mostly discuss the latest right-wing charges against the Democrats. I hated the guy and feel better about the Democrats' chances now that he's gone. I bet they give his chair to David Gregory, Andrea Mitchell, or even worse, Tweedy. No way will they give it to Keith Olbermann. And the last one. Hi, Mike. I'm sure you have heard that the great Tim Russert has died. I bear the man and his family no personal malice, and I am sure he was a wonderful family man. But I am listening to all the accolades about his television journalism, and I'm wondering if all of these worshippers are talking about the same Tim Russert I watched on TV on Sunday mornings until I could no longer stand it. Does anyone remember the year that Meet the Press became the Dick Cheney show? Cheney was on the show continually selling America a war, and Tim Russert sat back and allowed him to do it. I hear what a tough interviewer he was. This certainly was not the case while hosting the rifleman Cheney. Whenever anyone from this administration was on his show, Russert did nothing but allow them to lie, frighten, and confuse the American people. Tim Russert and his ilk were as complicit as all of the Bush crime family, as all the rest of the Bush crime family administration. Even worse, who will replace him? Please God, do not let it be Tweety Bird. Could it be we have a worse fate in store? Maureen in Boca Raton. And what's this? Oh, Randy in Seoul, South Korea writes, Tim Russert was not a Muslim, as far as I know. Okay, guys and girls. I saw this on somebody's news today. I don't know whose it was. It might have been CNN's before Tim Russert keeled over. About 10 million people in this country, I'm going to get the name in a second, 10 million people, they're facing starvation. Some country in Africa? No. Some state in India? No. 10 million people face starvation in Afghanistan. Now, isn't that the country one of the two countries we liberated and gave 25 million people in that country their freedom and their white shoes and their kite flying and their little girls can go to school and their mommies can take the children to clinics. 10 million. That is damn near half the population of the country facing starvation. Now, why? Bush policies globally, the refusal on the part of the Bush crime family over the past almost 8 years to initiate any sort of energy policy, and as a result, oil now is at $135 a barrel. Bush's only constituency, the oil companies, are just wallowing. They're wiping themselves after going to the John on $100 bills. These people, it's horrifying what has happened as a result of that. Since energy prices are off the map, not just here, globally. I mean, they don't have $136 a barrel oil that goes to the United States, and the rest of the world gets it for $22.50. That's not the way it works. So that has driven up food prices to a point that societies or countries where 70% of their income goes for food. And if the price of food, basic staples, goes up 50%, do the math. In addition, our enterprise in Afghanistan that has been going on longer than the Iraq war occupation, has absolutely decimated the country. Who can do anything? The only thing they're left to do is what they have done, become a narco state. That's it. There's nothing in Afghanistan except mountains and death, and now 10 million Afghans are facing starvation. This is another part of the Bush legacy. It's unbelievable. This guy is Satan. He is the devil incarnate. All you religious people who believe in some sort of a being, a beast from the underworld, from the netherworld, here's your guy. Here he is. You Muslims believe in that, don't you? You Christians, damn sure. I don't know about the Jews, but here you are. And there are all sorts of demons in Hinduism. Here's 30 of them. Rolled into one. Here he is, George W. Bush, a murderous son of a bitch whose policies, no matter where he goes, he trails behind him an absolute rooster tail of blood. That's all this guy does. Death and destruction. I defy any of you right-wing bastards to give me a call. I won't call you a bastard on the air. I'll even let you talk until you make me sick, and then I'll dump you off the program. But I just challenge any of you Republicans, you right-wingers, to call in here and give this audience one example of anything this son of a bitch has done that has not been drenched in blood or death. Or destruction, or wounded children, or just on and on. And now, as we told you last night, this monstrous increase in infant birth defects in Fallujah. This is not news. This is not news. This has been going on since the mid-90s, after Pappy Bush blew the hell out of Iraq, and then Bill Clinton spent the next 8 years bombing the bejesus out of it every time they turned around. And the sanctions and the refusal to allow medicine and the fact that Saddam Hussein was a tyrant son of a bitch that would have been taken out and shot if the United States had not ended the middle class in Iraq and ended any kind of resistance. We did that. And then George Herbert Walker Bush, after the first Gulf War, invited the Shia to rise up and overthrow him. We'd support him. And when they rose up, that son of a bitch, George Herbert Walker Bush, did nothing. And the massacre continued. Oh, man. I got to calm down. Yeah.
thrilled to be here in the breadbasket of America because it gives me a chance to remind our fellow citizens that we have an advantage here in America. We can feed ourselves.
Yeah. Not for too much longer, though, Chuckle Nuts. Well, you just keep sending these in, and... Dear Mike, Keith Olbermann just read a prepared statement by, quote, quote, someone named George W. Bush regarding the passing of Tim Russert. In the middle of MSNBC's absolute suspension of the news and the people's business to shred back-to-back tribute to their fallen leader. Bush used, oh, and you bet he wrote this himself, the word gregarious. Gregarious? The only words this son of a bitch knows are death and asparagus. This addle-brained clunk of a mass murderer probably thinks gregariousness is a form of chant. Carl in Columbus, Ohio. And Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. It's not impossible to reconcile condolences to his family and those co-workers who liked him with the simple fact that he was the number one Class A Pravda on the Potomac propagandist to mainstream television, and that he did not serve his viewers nearly as well as he did his own biases in the interests of his employer. As for John Dunn, I'm willing to bet he would have gotten out the eraser had he ever met Pol Pot. Well, that's true, but they were about five centuries apart, right? But I get your point, Michael, I do. They were certainly mass killers in the time of John Dunn, so... Joe is calling from Gilbert, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Joe, welcome to the program.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, I tried to call you a couple times. You're real busy. I have to tell you, I really appreciate hearing, you know, when your show came on.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired all day of hearing this eulogy and this eulogizing and this tribal mentality of, you know, not speaking ill of the dead. When it reminds me a lot of how I felt when Jerry Falwell died.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a God after all, but I'm not going to go that far. I really, what can I say? But you're the first person today to call the spade a spade. This guy, for 6 years at least, since I've been really paying close attention, has done nothing but bank his paycheck. And calling him a media whore is really kind. He's just appalling. A travesty, no integrity, threw his journalistic ethics out the window, probably along with his paycheck. And just a couple of weeks ago, I saw this big fat face on TV, and it was pretty clear to me he had a few too many. I think he was a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And noticing his size, but what he was doing was out there still saying this, if Hillary wins it all, what are we going to do then? And the race was already over.
Right.
Anybody with any brains paying attention. But there he was doing his job, pumping it up. And you could see, you know, he was all sweaty and kind of red in the face and, you know, who he was. And I was thinking, gee, how long is this guy going to last with the hours he keeps and the company he keeps? God knows.
Well, that's the thing. I can't say I've been looking at Russert lately and realizing this was a heart attack waiting to happen. But I will tell you that. Anytime I see somebody with who is obese or grossly overweight anyway, with those bulging eyes, it's a clear indication to me that there's some blood pressure issues, some thyroid issues, and working in that high-powered world that he worked in. And one of the things I did hear today was that he never took a break. He was always on the go. Well, you can't do that unless – and then if you have some sort of anomaly where it concerns your heart, you can't do that and expect to live. And I'm not trying to play Dr. Mike here. This is just common sense.
I agree.
You know, so as far as Russert the man, you know, he lived his life. His life happened to end at 58 years. God knows when mine will end, but his ended at 58 years. Okay. As far as his job, and I think that's what they're praising him for today. This is what I hear. They're not saying, they're not praising him for being a loving husband, although he may have been. They're not praising him for being a great dad, although he may have been.
Mm-hmm.
But they're praising him for his journalistic integrity. And God help me, I heard Frank Rich on Keith Olbermann's program to Frank Rich, the one writer.
I know.
That, you know, when I get my Sunday New York Times, I go to
Rich,
Week in Review and go to Rich before I read the headline. And to hear Rich refer to him as this, he didn't say great journalist, but that's what he was alluding to, that somehow Tim Russert provided the American people on Meet the Press and other venues that he hosted or was part of with the information we need to survive. That's crazy. It's people like Tim Russert who have allowed us to get to the point we're at with these pigs in the White House.
You got it.
So that's the problem.
I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it was somebody, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, Jeff Barrios.
Uh-huh.
And somebody saying, well, you know, you got to understand the media. And my call was, no, I'm not forgiving the media for this. A lot of people have died for these lies. Let's go back to the New York Times, that kind of media, Judith Miller, what a mess. And people died for this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm a Vietnam vet, and I know that lies kill. And I know it firsthand, and I still live the stuff. So I take it to heart, and I just can't stand being betrayed like this.
Yeah,
And I really appreciate you calling it like it is. The guy was, journalistically, forget about his personal life.
Yeah.
He was just a failure.
Yeah, and a failure for people who needed factual information and an absolute greasy handrail for people who wanted to get the lies out. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, appreciate you checking in.
Take care.
All right, take care. Yeah, I'm not here to bust up on a corpse on a personal level, not at all. And besides, you know, I've been bad-mouthing Tim Russert and everything that he did as a television person for years because it was just disgusting to watch this garbage. And I would watch it. Oh, absolutely. I would watch it up to a point, up until about, oh, I don't know what, Kathy, 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I realized that Meet the Press was never intended to be a news program in the sense of reporting the news. It made news, but I think it made news because it was so chock-a-block with garbage and lies. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. One more email here on the Russert death. Jill writes, I envy theists not because they believe in an afterlife, but because they believe in a purpose for life. I grieve for those who face losses, but there are not enough tears for the millions of us every day. So my tears are for those four little boys in Iowa, the ages of my son, who lost their lives. And for their parents who face the loss, I pray I never face the death of a child. Jill. Yeah, the four Boy Scouts. Okay. Isn't it interesting? Who was it? One of the world's fascist leaders, one of the totalitarians. A single death is a tragedy. The deaths of millions is a statistic. Or something like that. Don't send it. Don't email it because you're all very helpful to the program. But when I get 80 emails telling me who made that quote and the fact that I screwed it up, one death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. Or it must have been Stalin. There's a thing making the rounds today about radio talk show host and right-wing neo-Nazi Michael Reagan, who is the adopted son of St. Ronald Reagan. Michael Reagan is calling for the murder of political activist Mark Dice after hearing that Mark Dice is mailing letters and DVDs to troops in Iraq, and Reagan wants to pay for the bullets. Now, I have here both the YouTube video. We could play it for you live, but to hell with it. I've got the transcript of what he said. I know nothing about Mark Dice. I went to his website, and it's a little bizarre, but that's all right. It doesn't make any difference, does it? But here's what Reagan said on his program the other day. I think it was in the second hour of his program. Excuse me, folks, I'm going to say this. We ought to find the people who are doing this. Take them out and shoot them, really. You take them out, they're traitors to this country, and shoot them. You have a problem with that? Deal with it. You shoot them. You call them traitors. That's what they are, and you shoot them dead. I'll pay for the bullets. How about you take Mark Dice out and put him in the middle of a firing range? Tie him to a post. Don't blindfold him. Let it rip, and have some fun with Mark Dice. Son of a bitch. Really? Is that what right-wing talk show hosts can say anything, can't they, Kathy? They can say anything they want to. I cringe every time I say a bad word. These rat bastards can call for people just to be taken out and shot and name them. Mark Dice, is demanding that Reagan be fired immediately. Dice said, quote, calling for the murder of someone because you disagree with their political stance is absolutely unacceptable, un-American, and possibly illegal, end quote. Dice has filed a report with the FBI and is considering legal action against Reagan. Now, apparently, Dice has an organization called The Resistance. It's launched a campaign to send documentary films and declassified documents to U.S. troops who are stationed in Iraq to inform them that the 9/11 attacks were aided, one way or another, by elements within the U.S. government. Now, I'd say I don't have any problem with that. With that theory, as you know, I've pretty much stated my case on that. I don't know what happened. I just don't believe these rat bastards in the Bush crime family. Not at all. When they were warned over and over again, something was going to happen. And the fact that Iraq has not anything to do with 9/11, that's enough right there. But for Michael Reagan, who was not Ronald Reagan's blood offspring. He was adopted. I don't know anything about Michael Reagan. Don't want to know anything about Michael Reagan. Don't want to know anything about him. Except I do know he's a right-wing nutball. He's another one of these Rush Limbaugh wannabes like Neil Bortz, like Sean Hannity, who just wish they could have made it to the number one slot like Rush, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how their minds work. But to say that, How about you take Mark Dice out and put him in the middle of a firing range, tie him to a post, don't blindfold him, let it rip and have some fun with Mark Dice. You shoot him. You call him traitors. That's what they are. You shoot him dead. I'll pay for the bullets. Son of a bitch, really? Can you do that? I guess if you're a right-wing radio talk show host, you can do that. You're allowed to do that. That's the deal, huh? Good God. Kay in San Francisco and Steve in L.A. sent me this stuff. Back to your phone calls here for a moment. Adam is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Mike, good to hear your voice, and you've got the right tone. My first thought when hearing about his death today was a certain bitterness that he never got to ask Dick Cheney, why'd you lie to me and say you didn't know? But later I heard something kind to say about him, to share, and it came out of Mark Green's mouth when earlier today he pointed out that it was Tim Russert who declared Hillary's candidacy dead after Indiana and North Carolina. And so I say, let's celebrate that near the end of his life, he was chomping free and beginning to speak the truth, which had been clear for months anyway.
Well, sure, but if everybody is heading south and the village is deserted and the only thing left is a couple of barking dogs, and Tim Russert says, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm coming too," and then reports on television that everybody's heading south, what the hell does that mean?
Well, I had to have Mark Green remind me of it. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, well.
Remember that maybe he was coming, maybe he was breaking, whatever. I don't think that's so, but it's a kind way to think of it.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Adam, thanks. Take care. Jesse is calling from San Diego, listening on the internet. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Mike, you got enough wine for the Father's Day weekend?
Say it again.
You got enough wine for the Father's Day weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? I don't care. I don't even think about Tim Russert. But, you know, I became a socialist the other night after the Democratic Party left me. And, you know, I was real upset. And I sent an email saying I'm done and all this. But, you know, I listened to Dennis Kucinich. As long as Dennis Kucinich is still standing there fighting, I'm going to get behind the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have to find our fighters where we can find them, right?
Exactly, and you know, if the party wants to, you know, go in whatever direction they want to go in, but I'll stay behind this guy until the bitter end. Mm-hmm. Now, I do know something George Bush does good.
Say that again?
I said I do know something George Bush does good.
What?
Eats fecal matter with both hands.
Good. That's it. Okay. All right, Jesse. Thanks a million. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to, yeah, we're going to take some calls. Come on, 800-989-1480. While we're waiting. The Denver Post is reporting, is this today? The U.S. military is sending troops in to combat who are unfit for war. People with significant physical problems are being deployed. This is according to the General Accounting Office, or what do they call it now? The General Government Accountability Office. Oh, Jesus. That had to have been a Republican idea. And I want to focus on that a little bit when we come back. So stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
With his sweet face. But I'll tell you, my place is over sun, and this place is over dark. I do not feel the romance. I do not catch the spark.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Molloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Past the hour. So, according to the Denver Post, about two-thirds of the soldiers at three Army bases, two-thirds, of the soldiers at three Army bases who had significant physical problems were deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan anyway, according to the GAO survey released day before yesterday. The GAO also reported that documents assessing soldiers' physical fitness were missing from hundreds of the medical records it reviewed. Yeah, they always go missing, don't they? Huh? The records that are sending soldiers into combat who are going to be more or less sitting ducks. Email records of the criminality of George Bush and Irving Libby. Phone logs of the criminal Dick Cheney. Visitor logs of the entire criminal Bush crime family. Yeah, they go missing, don't they? Huh? Hey, they're missing. Oh, my goodness. So what was missing from hundreds of the medical records were documents assessing soldiers' physical fitness to go into combat. The author of the report for the U.S. Government Accountability Office said, quote, I think the message of the report is clear. The Army is not following its own rules. It's a problem, end quote. It's a problem. No, a problem is when you're late for work and can't find your watch and have to go. That's a problem. This is a goddamn catastrophe. We are sending people into combat who are not physically equipped to handle the situation, much less mentally equipped. You're kidding. No, we're not kidding. This is the way it works in Bush world. This is the way it works in corporate America. Oh, more soldiers died today. Oh, we're so sorry. Laura and I are just broken up, but you know, it's worth it. This is just like Madeleine Albright, the murderous Secretary of State who worked for Bill Clinton, who, when asked about the 500,000 deaths that the sanctions had caused against Iraqi children or caused of Iraqi children, and she was asked about it. She's since reconsidered her statement. But at the time, she was asked if it was worth it, and she said it was. 500,000 dead children. It was worth what, Mrs. Albright? What? Was worth what? You see, there's no answer. There's never an answer. Bastards. Bastards. The report was delivered to the House Armed Services Committee, which had asked two questions. The committee had asked two questions. Was the Army adhering to its own rules concerning deployments of soldiers with medical limitations? And was the Army assigning soldiers with medical conditions to suitable jobs? That's all. The according to the report, the Government Accountability Office was unable to answer the second question, partly because it did not receive the responses from soldiers they tried to survey. You can imagine a commanding officer passing the word down, ignore these civilian bastards. Pick up your rifle, soldier, and go to work. The responses the GAO did get, quote, suggest that both soldiers and commanders believe soldiers are generally assigned to duties that accommodated their medical conditions, end quote. Aha. Ike Skelton, who is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Democrat, said the GAO report confirms that some soldiers have fallen through the cracks. And he goes on. But the survey was based on a random sample of soldiers preparing to deploy from Fort Benning and Fort Stewart here in Georgia and Fort Drummond, New York. It's unbelievable. They were taking people with type 2 diabetes, asthma, herniated discs. Even in the murderous days back in the mid-60s when Lyndon Johnson and General William Westmoreland were throwing as many American young men into the meat grinder of Vietnam as they possibly could, even then, something as seemingly inconsequential, it's not, when you hear, well, he was turned down for the military because he had flat feet. What? That is not an inconsequential circumstance when you are asked to march for miles and miles and miles. But even back then, I can remember people being turned down for military service because of flat feet. and during the Bush crime family years, they're taking people who are physically and mentally unable to handle combat and putting them out there. We're going to suffer the results of that in this country for decades to come.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy. Making a bank account, let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for an area of sin?
It's about 25 before the hour. You're listening to the Malloy program. The Democrats have scuttled the proposal to impeach Bush. We knew this, but it finally hit the Boston Globe yesterday. This was the vote, 251 to 166. The articles of impeachment introduced by Dennis Kucinich in a resolution has been passed on to the Judiciary Committee, which is expected to let it die without further action. I don't know why I still have this in the stack. We knew this. Yeah, Michael Steele, a spokesman for the House Republican leadership, said there should be consequences when the Democratic leadership allows the floor, the House floor, to be hijacked by the loony left. He's referring to the introduction of the resolution and the vote. Oh, don't start. Don't start. Let's go. Let's do some phone calls. Jeff is calling from Arkansas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hello. First of all, I want to give my deepest respects to you and all of your fellow journalists and the loss of one of your own today.
The bad day that
man has gone.
Jeff, wait a second. I'm not a journalist.
Well, I'm just saying he's in the journalist. What I'm trying to say is, with Meet the Press, him doing Meet the Press, it's sad that a man of that quality has passed. I enjoyed watching him on Meet the Press. He was a very intelligent man.
Well, I don't know about his intelligence. I just know he was a spokesman for the fascistic right in this country. So,
well, I have 3 points to make.
Okay.
Number one, first point, I am a former Marine. I spent 10 years in the United States Marine Corps from 1978 to 1988. My son-in-law is a Marine at present time, fixing to go do another tour in Iraq. My father was a Marine in Vietnam. First of all, anyone who signs the contract, the binding contract with any branch, any military, if you haven't got the intelligence to know that when you sign that contract, you are stating when your country calls you, whether it be right or wrong, you're representing our country in any kind of conflict, any conflict.
All right,
wait
just a second, Jeff. What if your country lies you into a war?
It does not matter.
Oh, it does matter. And I'll tell you what.
Wait.
Now, Jeff, don't make me put you on hold because I, by God, will. Now, you listen to me, Mr. Marine, and listen close, okay? When somebody violates his oath of office, as George Bush did, he took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. If the man stands there and tells bald-faced lies that sends soldiers and Marines and all kinds of people into a death machine that we shouldn't have been in the first place, that is not a lawful order. Absolutely not, Mr. Jeff Marine. Listen to me, Jeff. You listen to me. Don't come on my program talking about your history in the Marine Corps. I am not the least interested in your history in the Marine Corps. Because if you really had a history in the Marine Corps, you would understand, Mr. Jeff Marine, the difference between a lawful order and an attack and assault on the Constitution. If you were a Marine, Mr. Jeff, you took an oath of office to defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies foreign and domestic. Now that's enough from you, Mr. Jeff Marine. You're out of here. Don't be calling my program with that garbage. Don't be calling my program with that garbage. Don't tell me that some 18-year-old kid that joins the Marine Corps because he wants to prove his manhood, and then some dirty son of a bitch like George Bush, who was a draft dodger, sends him into a war based on lies, deceit, deception, false pretenses and fraud, that 18-year-old young man, Marine, is going to stand there and say, yes, sir, I'll go die. Are you out of your goddamn mind, Jeff? Don't tell me about your history in the Marine Corps, because I am not interested. Especially when you tell me you were a Marine and you support an attack on the Constitution. Get out of town, pal. The hell is wrong with these people, Kathy? What the hell is wrong with these people? This kind of blind stupidity. Well, I'm a Marine. If my country tells me to go invade England based on lies and deception, I'll do it. Go back and read the Uniform Code of Military Justice and find out what your obligations are. Better yet, Mr. Jeff, go read what some of the verdicts were at the Nuremberg trial and why people were hanged. Don't come on my program and talk that garbage. I don't even want to hear it.
I think the problem with some of these folks is the truth is so devastating and horrifying to contemplate. They can't fathom that a president of the United States and a chicken hawk vice president and the rest of the chicken hawk administration would send their sons, their fellow troops, their nephews, their daughters, their mothers to go die for an illegal cause.
Well, this former Marine made the statement that anyone who signs a contract who is too stupid to understand they might be sent into a combat zone, and I don't know what else he said because I started yelling at him. But the stupidity, it's not stupidity, it's almost treason. You have somebody who puts on the uniform, any uniform, of the United States military, and takes that oath to protect and defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. And then when everybody knows that war was based on lies. We have no more business being in Iraq than we have sending a squad of Marines into downtown London to start shooting people. It is insane. Don't drag me into that insanity. And you're not going to use this program as a platform for that insanity either. If I were a commissioned officer in any branch of the service, once I found out about the lies, I would have resigned my commission. If I were a non-commissioned officer, I would have figured out some way to get out. And if I were a common grunt, I would have laid my weapon down and went to my commanding officer and said, no, sir, no, sir, goddamn no, sir. I'm not going to participate in this anymore. Do what you will. Because I took an oath. And the oath means more to me than George Bush's insanity. So there, Jeff. Back to your phone calls. Ricky is calling from Tempe, Arizona, listening on KPHX.
Hey!
Hey, yourself.
Am I talking to Mike Malloy?
Let me check. Yes, you are.
Okay. Hey, look, I just wanted to offer you kudos, especially because a patriot must be ready to defend his country against his government. That's a quote from Edward Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
And dissent is the highest form of patriotism. That's a quote from Howard Zinn. And to this I say to the individuals who consider themselves to be Christians, if Jesus were to appear today and he said and did the same things that he did back then, he'd meet the same fate, only this time at the hands of Christians.
Oh, sure.
And not Jews.
They would have put it, he'd be in Guantanamo right now.
Oh, exactly.
He'd be in Guantanamo saying, but look at my hands!
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter. He'd be in Guantanamo. He'd be tortured. He'd be waterboarded. He'd be hung on a cross.
So I thank you for educating and calling the ruling elite on their duty, you know?
Yeah.
And duty is D-O-D-D-Y, sir, you know? I do support you, and I will erect a shrine to your efforts and to your spirit upon your assassination, which I'm sure will happen soon enough, and mine will probably follow.
No, see, Ricky, I appreciate the sentiment, but you have to understand something, and I know this is just whistling past the graveyard, but I'm a liberal that believes in guns, and I carry one. So assassinate, maybe in a shootout, but, you know, no. But anyway, thanks, Ricky. I appreciate you checking in. Mark is calling from Crossville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Mark, welcome to the program. Oops, you gotta hold on, Mark. We got to do a break. We'll come back and talk to you in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Hussein, because of the nature of Saddam Hussein and his willingness to terrorize himself.
Oh my God. There's one schizophrenic identifying another. Irish Dave writes, Mike, I have just two words for the blank blank jarhead, Smedley Butler. Yeah, if our caller, the alleged Marine, is still listening, you ought to Google Smedley Butler. I don't know if you know who he is or if you give a damn, but he was a two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, the only man in history to have done so, and he wrote something called War is a Racket. So next time you have a chance, Jeff, take a look at what General Smedley Butler had to say. Eh? Reg writes in, I wonder if the so-called Marine who called in would obey orders to shoot protesters in the U.S. if ordered. Would he honor his so-called contract to blindly obey orders if he were asked to shoot at little children in the streets of America? If George Bush or any other commander-in-chief would so order? The man is demented and surely Republican, but typical of so many who come from long lines of military families. They have been conditioned to do whatever they are told and never, ever to question someone in the chain of command who holds a higher rank. That is why martial law in the United States will be such a nightmare when, not if, it comes. Reg, yeah, I can remember the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, in China. And it's absolute inseparability from the people, the non-military people in China. That was part of the revolution. Was there was no daylight between the people and the army, the People's Liberation Army. It was one and the same. And yet when the time came at Tiananmen Square in 1989, the so-called People's Liberation Army opened fire on the people. And the death toll in that one is something that we in the West will never know. Several hundred, several thousand, we don't know. And as far as, our so-called Marine caller, he ought to brush up a little bit on his history. The framers of the Constitution warned against having a standing military that had no use whatsoever in peacetime, and that if there was need to, if the country were attacked, or if there was need for an army, then raise an army. But one of the surest threats to liberty would be a standing military. And look where we are now. And I wonder if our Marine understands that the supreme Allied commander of the invasion of Normandy in 1944 also warned against the military-industrial complex. It's really sad to me, because if you question some of these people, you're automatically, it's just like if you question the policies of Israel, you're an anti-Semite. If you question blind obedience to illegal orders, which the Code of Military Justice tells you by God not to do, but to some of these people, if you question that, then you are being anti-military or anti-patriotic. It's insane. It's insane. I've said before, my family is chock-a-block with people who served in the military. Did I? No. Chock-a-block with people who served in the military. And I will tell you now, not one of them, of course it was a different time, not one of them would have obeyed an illegal order. And this is in World War II, and people knew what illegal orders were. To participate in George W. Bush's war of opportunity, there is not a bit of honor connected with that. Not a bit. None. There is no honor in attacking a civilian population for no reason whatsoever except because you think you can. There is no honor. None. There is nothing but shame and disgrace. And anyone with the sense of a sack of doorknobs would understand that and would refuse these illegal orders. Like members of the Israeli Defense Forces, hundreds who have said, "No, I will not go into the occupied territories. No. Because it is illegal." There are members of the Israeli Defense Forces who have the honor, the courage, and the respect for justice who say no. How many American soldiers do that? Raw numbers on both sides, and even a percentage. No, I'm not defending the IDF. I'm not defending policies of Israel. But by God, I am speaking highly of members of the military in that country who say no. I'm not going to do this, and they don't. So. Yeah, Mark. All right, Mark. Listen, we'll come back to you after the break. You got carried away, but we'll come back. I know that you're going to challenge or you're a right winger or whatever, but that's okay. Just remember to mind your manners, Mark. Okay, just mind your manners, and we'll have a nice conversation. Whatever your point of view is. But if you try to overtalk me, or if you try to butt in, or if you try to start spewing right-wing rhetoric, you won't last long. All right? We'll come back and talk with Mark after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. All right, let's go immediately to Mark, who is listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, calling from Crossville, Tennessee. All right, Mark, what you got on your mind?
Hey, how are you? Actually, I got a question and then a statement for you. My question is, I kind of got two questions. First off, how do you feel about them allowing the prisoners at Guantanamo the right to a trial right now?
About the same as I would feel about your being allowed a trial if
our Constitution, right?
If you were charged with make-believe crimes. Let me ask you a question. What is an enemy combatant?
Somebody who you're fighting on the battlefield?
No. An enemy combatant is, first of all, there is no such thing. That's a term made up for George Bush to justify illegal detention in violation of a U.S. law, in violation of international law, in violation of Geneva Conventions, that as long as we're going to have wars, we all have to abide by those, or our soldiers, our people, wind up being held without charges. So what was your original question again? What do I think of the ruling? This was the third ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court to tell George Bush that he was full of crap about his deciding on his very little own, with the people who feed this nonsense into his head, that there is another class of human beings that we can detain, and those are human beings that have no rights.
Well, no, they don't have any rights as far as I'm concerned. If they're fighting for the Taliban,
How do you know they're fighting for the Taliban? You don't know a damn thing about these people. Some of them were picked up. Now, wait a second. Don't do this. Don't be like a typical right-wing ass. You have no idea. Now, let me tell you something, Mark. The case that was decided yesterday had to do with people who were picked up in Bosnia. So don't talk to me, don't come across to me like you know what you're talking about when you open your mouth and demonstrate you don't have a clue. Listen to me, some of these detainees that were called enemy combatants were taxi drivers and teenagers who were scammed up by the so-called Northern Alliance and sold to the American military command in Afghanistan when that invasion first began and nobody knew who was who. So
and they just
don't
grab them right off the street and said, hey,
that's
look,
right.
You're going
that's,
to Guantanamo.
That's, no, they said you're going to Bagram Air Base where they'll torture you there. Well, now, if you want to call this program, Mark, and talk to me about a situation like this, then you, by God, go do a little bit of study. I am so sick of you people calling this program who don't have a clue as to what's going on. Your heads are so full of this right-wing BS, this Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity crap. What do you mean if they're Taliban? You have no idea who they are. You have no idea who's being detained. You don't even know how many people are being detained. And I'll bet you, goddammit, you couldn't even find Cuba on a map. Now, get off my program. And don't come back. I'm serious. And I forbid you to listen. Don't you dare listen to my program. Much less call. Jackasses, I get so tired of that.
Well, Mike, you didn't give him a chance to talk.
Yeah, I did. I can't stand that. And every single... Why do I do that? Look, we're going to pass a law for a while, a Mike Malloy law. And anybody up and down the chain of command of this radio network and program, no more of these bastards. I don't want them on my air anymore. Somebody calls in and has a dissent, screw them. Not going to put them on because they're always such asses. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm sick of using this program to disseminate Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Michael Reagan, radio talk show right-wing nut job propaganda. No thank you. Go away. I have tried for 6 years. Seven. Ever since this halfwit stole the presidency, I've tried for 7 years to find at least one right-winger who could present an argument that made sense, who would offer facts that were in fact facts, and I have yet to find one. So, you know, I've said over and over and over and over and over and over again until I'm blue in the face. If you're a right-winger and you want to call this program, there's a certain way to conduct yourself. And if you don't do it, you're out of here. It's just very simple. Very simple. The same rule applies to liberals or progressives, but they don't do this kind of crap the way you right-wingers do. So enough. Enough already. Maybe I'll change my mind by Monday. But the way I feel right now, to hell with you people. To hell with you. Call Limbaugh. Get in some kind of a masturbatory fantasy with him. But stay away from this program. Just stay away. And don't listen. I don't want you to listen. Creeps.
Oh, I'm just saying. I mean, it's well known that a lot of these folks who were tortured, some of them to death, some of them who died in prison, and don't even get me started on the kids at Camp Iguana, but some of these people... were just picked up, and the Pentagon admits that there were some mistaken identities and some, you know, the one I remember is the taxi driver whose hands were mangled and, you know, and he'd done nothing. And like you said, a lot of these folks were scooped up and sold. Oh, you want some prisoners? Oh, you want some
right.
Taliban? Oh, here, U.S. military. Here you go. Here's a whole bunch of Taliban
right
here.
Give us some money. Yeah, give us some money.
I'm taking $100 a head for them.
Mm-hmm. How come you know that, and I know that, and people who have just a minimal amount of sense after being saturated with the kind of media we have in this country, and yet these right-wing asses don't know that? How come these people that call my program, I wish you'd stop. I really do. My invitation to you is hereby withdrawn. Go away. Go away. Ramona is calling from Hammond, Indiana, listening on the internet. Ramona, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Oh, these people, Mike. I don't know.
I hear you.
I don't understand. I mean, the Winter Soldier should be a mandatory viewing.
Say that again.
The Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah. Right.
Should be a mandatory viewing. I mean, I had the honor of Ashley and I. Oh, by the way, my granddaughter Ashley says to tell you hi.
Oh, you're Ashley's grandma.
Yeah.
All right, I know who you are.
Yeah, and we had the honor.
Tell her hi back at her. Her dad, your son, was in what? He had two tours, didn't he?
Yeah, two tours. Yeah.
Right.
And he's home now. And Ashley and I, like I said, we had the honor of speaking, you know, with the. IVAW soldiers.
Really?
Oh, yeah, when they were in Valparaiso.
Wow.
And I just broke down. I couldn't help it, you know, because I looked at them, and they're younger than my son.
Right.
And it just broke my heart, you know, and then the Winter Soldier testimonies, you know, like I say, these people that call in and talk like that, it ought to be mandatory for everyone to see that testimony. But my son, I mean, the way they treat our soldiers, you know, not to mention how they treat other people, but how they treat our soldiers is outrageous. I mean, I can't believe it. My son now is, he's home. He's suffering from PTSD. They gave him the wrong medication.
Oh, God.
They gave him antipsychotic, and I told him, I said, Jay, you need to be taking an antidepressant, not an antipsychotic.
Mm-hmm.
But they changed his medication. He's two months now. They haven't paid him.
Ramona, hold on. Let me do a break here, and we'll come back and finish the conversation. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us. Except you right-wingers. Don't listen to my program.
Comes with every night. It's just another day.
Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say, Chuckle Nuts. 21 past the hour, we're talking with Ramona in Hammond, Indiana, whose granddaughter we've talked to before, whose son has served two tours in Iraq. Now, you were telling us about what your son is dealing with now, Ramona.
He's dealing with, he's going through a divorce proceeding. She filed for divorce while he was in Iraq the second tour. Well, she talked to him about a divorce. She said she wanted a divorce. So they're talking about it now. They're trying to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't paid him for 2 months. They said that they thought that he was getting out sooner than he was. They didn't know that he was getting out in October, which I find hard to believe. So he's living on the base so he can eat, but he has no money. And he's very upset, very depressed, and it's terrible, Mike. It's just absolutely terrible.
How's your granddaughter dealing with this?
She's looking forward to seeing him. He's supposed to be here in August, and she spoke to him tonight. She had to do most of the talking because he's in a deep depression. And she tried. She said, "Grandma, I got him to laugh a little bit." So I don't know. It's just really sad.
How old is she again?
She's 11.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm not going to stop my protesting. I can't stop my protesting.
No, you can't.
I protest, we protest on Saturdays, and I go as often as I can. And one lady, a lot of people say really mean things to us, but I think the one that stands out in my mind is my sign says, "Military Mom Against the War," and I have a picture of my son on my poster. And one lady said, "I ought to be ashamed." And I thought later, I thought, the only thing I'm ashamed of, I'm not ashamed that my son is serving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ashamed that my son is serving under this criminal regime.
Right.
And, and the man that called earlier about, the contract that they sign on to, they don't sign on to go into an illegal war based on lies.
Mm-hmm.
They sign on to do their duties, protect their country.
That's right. Where is, and I'm so embarrassed. I'm drawing a blank on your granddaughter's name.
Ashley.
I was going to say Angela, and I thought, no. Where's Ashley tonight?
Oh, she's with her mom.
Is she?
Yeah. This is the current wife is the one that's going to divorce them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Is Ashley's mom remarried?
No.
She isn't?
No.
You got quite a granddaughter. For people who don't know what in the world we're talking about, Ashley's called a couple. As a matter of fact, I think she was the first one that called this program, not you, right?
It
was,
yeah.
It was Ashley.
She did.
Yeah, when she was 9 or 10?
Yeah, 10. Yeah,
10.
She was 10. And she protested with us, and
right.
She had some things thrown at her. She had coins thrown at her. She's had food thrown at her and called terrible names and...
She
wants to go.
How does she feel? Does she connect what her father has gone through and is going through with the protesting? Does she make that connection that her dad was there and she's protesting the war or the occupation that he was forced to take part of? Is she aware of that?
Yeah, she's aware of that.
Is she?
Yeah, even though he's home, she still wants all of them home,
yeah.
As we all do. That's why that's why we're all still out there.
I wonder which one of the jerks that called me tonight would refer to Ashley, 11-year-old Ashley, as a traitor or un-American. It's madness. It's madness, Ramona. What? How does she? Is she upset about her dad?
She's upset that he's upset.
Right.
She loves her dad very much. He's her hero.
Oh God, is he going to be okay? Do you think?
Oh, she'll be fine.
No, him, your son.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I told him, I said, "Jay, we got a nice room here for you. I fixed it all up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Cable TVs, air conditioning. I said, you can stay here as long as you need to." And, of course, Ashley wants him to move back here so she can be near him.
Sure.
But he said he wants to go where he can make the most money, so... Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens, but I'm just really worried about him. He sounded really down tonight.
Oh, hell, Ramona.
I know. I just feel so bad for these guys and women. I really do, how they're treated.
And the kids. The kids who are caught in this, whether they're American kids, Iraqi kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's madness. All right. You know, I always say it, and I mean it. Stay in touch and tell Ashley we said hi, okay?
I sure will. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Ramona. Take care. Take care. If you've ever heard Ashley on this program, she is such a sweetheart. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Up daisies, we all look the same. In the name of the Father, maybe, but not in my name. On this Jacob's ladder, the only way up is down. One step from disaster, two to make the high.
To be as, you know, to be in solidarity as best as I can with them. And I think, you know, playing golf during a war, it just sends the wrong signal. Just a word of the
it's not enough just to stand and stare. It is 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Tony is listening in Miami to WINZ. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Great. I'm doing well. First of all, my deepest condolences to Tim and his family. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Even though I don't agree with him, and I agree with you.
Sure.
I sure hate to ever see anybody die like that. You know. So my condolences to him. It's my humanitarian nature. But to the point that I was calling about, the Democrats, just voting down the impeachment, it's just amazing. It makes me wonder what this country is going to. Straight to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it's just amazing. I kind of figured in my gut that basically, yeah, right. I mean, we have the possibility that it will not go through because of the political lobbyists and all the crap that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still hoping, you know, as a... I guess I'm a hopeless romantic that I wanted to see it go through, but I'm mad as hell. And it's $12 billion, according to your board op, that we're wasting over there a month. Borrowed money from China, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah.
And we're basically in debt. We're totally in debt. The economy is going down the tubes. We're in the wrong war. We should be in Afghanistan, just like Barack said, but not in Iraq. That's an illegal war. There was really no reason to go in there.
And not only that, if we were really interested, and of course I've said this many, many times, and other people have also, if the attack on this country was as the Bush crime family says it was, which I doubt, but let's assume that it was. Let's buy into the story.
Right.
Then what should have happened immediately would have been, or should have been, an all-out... manhunt if these people could be tracked to the madrasas in Afghanistan,
right?
Then you take the FBI, Interpol, the Mossad. You take some of the best tracking fugitive hunting organizations on the planet,
right? Right.
The Chinese, whomever. And you find the people who did it, and you bring them to justice. You don't invade two countries.
I agree.
And that's the horror of what has happened. These right-wing Republican psychopaths have taken this country into two wars, both of which we are losing, both of which we are losing on so many levels, not just militarily. Nobody in 500 years has ever beaten the Afghans, not the British, not the Soviets, and not the United States. It's not going to happen.
I totally agree with you, Mike.
Yeah,
I mean, you're making a lot of sense. And like I said, it's basically, I'm an independent. I mean, I'm kind of like middle of the road American, but, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with your position and basically, well, a lot of Americans' positions on this war. I mean, it's wrong. It's the wrong war. We're basically destroying our country economically. I mean, we really are. We have so many needs in this country that we should be taking care of. You know, and I'm sure you're very well aware of what those needs are.
Sure.
Everything from education to roads, I mean, to health care.
Everything.
I mean, it's very important that we do this. But unfortunately, you know, here I am. I'm thinking the only man that's making sense to me is Barack, and I'm afraid for him. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really afraid for that gentleman. And it's like, you know, I hope nothing happens to him. I really do. Because he's the only one that's making any type of sense out of all the candidates. He's the only one that's making a little bit of sense, at least.
Yeah, he is. He's certainly not the perfect candidate. There have been a couple of op-ed pieces written about him lately in several so-called newspapers of record around the country, and with which I agree. He's not the Messiah. He doesn't walk on water. He is just as human as you are or I am, but he's one of those transformative leaders, and he may turn out to be just another corporate thug. I just don't think so. Mark Morford, that's what I was trying to think of. Mark Morford writing.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, San Francisco Chronicle.
Mm-hmm.
A piece he wrote about, Barack Obama is making its way, around the internet. And I've enjoyed Morford's writings for a long time. He reminds me of a sober Hunter Thompson, and he's such a good writer. But the piece he had earlier this week about Barack Obama is just right on target. This is a guy who Obama, who it doesn't make any difference his age or his skin color. This is a guy who at this particular moment in our history has got whatever that factor is that makes people feel like, well, maybe there's a chance we can pull this out. And to me, that's one of the most key elements of leadership. It's not how many Vietnamese villages you bombed. It's not how many Iraqis' throats you've cut. It's not how many corporations you have drained of its assets and screwed the investors. It's whether or not you have this quality of leadership that is almost undefinable, and I think he has that. I'm sorry to talk so much on your dime, Tony. But
No. I like listening to you, and like I said, I've been listening to you for, I think, right now about 6 months. Somebody tuned me into you, and like I said, it's like an outrage that we feel as American citizens who believe in the Constitution. And I'm sure that you would fight for this country for the right war. I would too.
Oh, I'm like any other a member of any tribe. If somebody invades my village, and tries to steal my crops, I will pick up the nearest weapon. If it's a club, if it's a rifle, I don't care. And I would defend my tribe, my village, and my family until I'm not alive anymore. But I will not be the one who just on a whim, because I have a tribal chieftain who's a goddamn psychopath, I won't go to the village down the road and start burning, raping, and looting. I just won't do it. Tony, I have to leave it there. Thank you. I appreciate it. A couple of emails here. This is from Turo. Mike, it's the media's fault that the overwhelming majority of Americans simply don't know that a good percentage of the Guantanamo detainees were perfectly innocent and sold for bounty to the U.S., Tim Russert and the rest of them let this dangerous ignorance happen. So damn them all. I mean, really damn them to hell. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, and under this is what the right-wingers in this country hate, unless their useless asses would ever be rounded up and put in a prison cell. Oh, God, wouldn't you hear the bleating and screaming and whining and wailing then? But what they don't seem to understand is that nobody, I don't care if it's somebody from Tanzania or somebody from China or somebody from Detroit or somebody from Afghanistan, when you are charged with a crime, in any civilized nation, you are innocent until proven guilty. Otherwise, you have a tyranny of the powerful that means nobody except the powerful elite ever has an ice cube's chance in hell. And this is the main thing that just drives me crazy about Supreme Court justices or callers to this program who don't understand that basic concept. It goes back to the 13th century, you dumbasses, and it has a long history in the legal codes of so many countries. And if you can't understand it and can't accept it, then get your ass out of my country and go live someplace where you're guilty until proven innocent. But on the way out of town, don't listen to my program, punks. Dot in Phoenix writes, regarding McCain, John McCain flew 23 missions over Vietnam, a country that did nothing to America. How many innocent men, women, and babies were blown to death when he dropped bombs on them? 10,000? 25,000? McCain should be charged with murder in a court of law. Dot in Phoenix. Yeah, I mean, at what point do you right-wing pigs understand personal responsibility? You love to talk about it where it concerns imaginary people that drive Cadillacs and cash in food stamps. You half-wits. How many, what has to happen before you right-wing conservatives finally learn to take some responsibility yourselves? Bunch of jerks. I don't know why I even think about your useless asses. Mary L. is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Mary L., welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, listen, I got to put you on hold now. We got to do a break. I'll come right back to you. I keep doing that tonight. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
In the USA, and all I did was place it. Living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay the lag. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. If you let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. But I'm taking back my power.
Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew tonight and this week, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, Catherine Bay, and moi. And just one more mention, Nova N founding members, one more mention tonight. Starting earlier today, you can now watch a weekly video that we put together here at the Malloy Studio. Log on to novaradio.com and click on videos to watch me do whatever little trick I'm going to do that particular week. All right? And if you're not a Nova M founding member, become one. It's not that expensive, I guess. That's all relative, isn't it? It's $100 a year or $10 a month. And there's lots that you get for that. All right, we were talking with Mary L. in Miami, or starting to. All right, Mary L., hey.
Yes, hi, Mike. I don't know what this guy, this Marine was talking about. Yeah, I know firsthand what's been going on because I used to work for the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And I work in the demilitarized zone in Iraq, on the Iraqi border. And they have no idea what these people are suffering. I worked there in 1994 after the first Gulf War. And mm-hmm. I came back in 96 for a couple of years. I was there, and I saw the atrocity, and I went into Basra, and I saw these people have lost all their sense of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad thing, and I'm an African-American, so it's like, you know, I can more or less relate to them when you feel like you have nothing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And they had a culture previously, before all this happened, the media is like reporting like these people like didn't exist. They didn't have anything. They didn't have a culture. I don't understand what's going on. And these people are just taking in all these lies and lies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad, very sad thing. You know, I'm very sad by what's going on in this world at this present time. And it's like I'm so afraid for myself and for my grandchildren and for my, I don't know, for the whole world.
Yeah, well, you're not alone in that, Marielle. Certainly not alone in that. To display cultural ignorance is something that we in the United States, and especially our government, just seems to have this alarming habit of doing. And it's a shame because the cultures that we refuse to recognize are cultures that were old before white Europeans came to this country and stole it from the Native Americans. So it's a form of arrogance that is just astonishing.
Yes, and they want to let people think like the only thing that exists is the Western culture.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like unless you westernize, you are not worthy, and nothing is good about you. And I don't understand. I really don't understand, and I am very saddened. And when I was there for a couple of years, now I came back, and I don't know what it is. I left my job because I have a tumor. I have a tumor near my heart, near my pancreas. I don't know what it is. It's from all that thing that I ingested because I was right there in the border. In the demilitarized border, and the water in Iraq was bad, so I had to shower and breathe all this thing. And I know a lot of these people who have died, people who are patrolling the border, military from different countries, Sweden and different part of the world. And as soon as they went home, a couple of years later, you hear like they die of cancer, so many crazy disease. And I've been sick for the last 12 years.
Well, listen, Marielle, stay in touch. I've got to leave your call there because we're running out of time, but do stay in touch. Hi. Marge is calling from Indiana. Well, you always make it when we have about a minute and a half left. Hi, Marge.
How you doing, Todd? Should I talk fast? I'm going for history tonight.
Okay, go ahead.
You remember the old Jimmy Stewart movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Yes, I do.
There's a scene in there where he's making a speech in the chambers,
yeah.
And his hometown newspaper editor is just having a snit fit and wanting to run headlines and get him off the, get his story off the press. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm so damn sick of the media this week that I could just gag.
I hear you.
And the other thing in history, I don't know what made me think of it. I hadn't thought of it in 100 years, but maybe you remember a song called Ragtime Cowboy Joe. Ring a bell? There's a line in there that, well, the whole thing, I think, sort of lends itself to parody. So, my fellow truth seekers, that's your assignment. There's a line in there that said he's a highfalutin, rootin' tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy, John.
You know, I almost have a memory of that. I don't know.
Yeah, Me too. I mean, part of it I remember, but there's more to it.
Well, and, that'll be my assignment for the weekend.
Well, anyhow. And did Kathy get the note that I sent by way of Ian about the two websites?
Not yet, but she will. She will.
Okay.
All right. Listen, happy Father's Day.
Yeah. Same to you, Dean.
All right, Marge. Take care. We're just about out of time. So anyway, to all the mothers and fathers out there, happy Father's Day. And just be careful. I don't know. Father's Day is one of those greeting card holidays, right? But be careful. I'll see you Monday night, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. I'm going straight.